Welcome to the Keystone Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's the middle of the week. Penn State is 4-0. They're number 4 in the nation. And this is the obligatory Keystone crossover, a collaboration between the obligatory PSU podcast and pregame show and Keystone kickoff of the Keystone Sports Network. This week, I am your fake host, Chris Buchanani, joined as always by today my panelist, Jim Galante of KSN. Jim, how are you?
I'm fantastic. I just want to know, how come you're a fake host? You're a real host as far as I'm concerned, Chris.
So there's a long backstory on the whole like fake host thing, which we're going to explain at some point on one of our podcasts. So I'll use that as a tease to remind everyone that one of the reasons why we decided to do this, give you a little morsel of extra content in the middle of your college football week, is to show off a little bit of what both of us do on our respective shows. So you can find me and the rest of my cast, Mike the Mailman, Brandon Noble, Kevin Horn, on the Obligatory PSU podcast. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. And on the Obligatory PSU pregame show, you can go to obligatorypsu.com and find all the stations and airtimes on Friday evening and Saturday morning where we can be found getting you ready for your college football Saturday. And Jim, you want to tell our audience a little bit about where they can find you and your show?
Definitely. You could find us wherever you get your podcasts, but I recommend go to your app store, look up Keystone Sports, get our app. You'll not only get all of our podcasts, but it'll point you at some other great things like the Obligatory podcast from Chris and his crew and a couple other items. So that's Keystone Sports. Download it from the app store.
App Store, Google Play. It's one of the first things that pops up, just like we're one of the first things when you start typing in Obligatory. So I think this is probably going to be one of the last weeks we are doing the every week crossover with the content. Jim and I switch off the hosting duties. We're pretty soon going to start switching off on what weeks you're going to get this little program on your podcast feed. So subscribe to both, and then you'll never worry about missing any of our nuggets of wisdom. And so along those lines, Jim, we heard for about a week before the season started all about the alliance. Everything was about the alliance, the Pac-12, the ACC, and the Big Ten. And then actual college football started and it went away. And so far, it looks like all three of those conferences suck. So I don't know how compelling a storyline that is. But I think after the season is over, we are going to hear more about what the plans are for those three conferences to collaborate and offset what the SEC and ESPN are doing. And one possibility in all of that is aligning all three conferences on an 8-game intra-conference schedule. And so if that happens, there's been a lot of speculation that maybe that will open up for maybe all of the conferences, but certainly the Big Ten, to do away with its divisional structure. And I have a feeling like that might be something you're in favor of.
Yes, yes, I am. And Chris, I know that you as well as I, we enjoy kind of looking into some nuggets on looking at statistics, looking into things a little bit deeper to find out, to support our hypotheses. I had an investigation. I was looking into essentially a story based on throughout the country how there is such a disparity in scheduling, and that would be one of the reasons to support a 12-team playoff. So that right now, with the 14 playoff, if you lose more than one game, you're eliminated. You're out of it, no matter how tough your schedule is. But while I was going through this investigation, I stumbled upon something that I know it sounds pretty obvious on the surface, and that is, in the Big Ten Conference, the Big Ten East is so much tougher than the Big Ten West. But just how big is that disparity, and especially this season? And I came up with some numbers that I found to be really fascinating. The Big Ten East, overall, all teams together, are 24-4. Okay? Pretty impressive. I know some of those are out-of-conference games against cupcakes. But 24-4. So you might ask, Chris, what's the record of the Big Ten West? It's 15-14. Compare that to 24-4. So I would dig a little deeper and found so far there have been 6 crossover games from Big Ten East to Big Ten West. The Big Ten East is 5-1 in those six crossover games. Here's my conclusion, and maybe you already knew this. The Big Ten West sucks. They're bad. Iowa is ranked in the top 10. Nobody else is ranked in the Big Ten West. Meanwhile, Penn State, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, they're all ranked teams in the East, and Maryland is knocking on the door of being ranked. Just that alone, there's such a huge difference between the schedule a Big Ten East team plays versus a West Division team.
Yeah, and point out that even lowly Rutgers has looked much improved in the second year under Greg Schiano, and they only have one loss, and it's to ranked Michigan, a divisional opponent.
Exactly. So what does this mean?
And they gave Michigan all Michigan could handle last weekend.
They did. Rutgers is no longer a walkover. So how does this play out for individual teams? And we're Penn State people, so I'm going to look at it Penn State versus Iowa. Just those two teams, and they're very comparable in a lot of ways. They're ranked, what, fourth and fifth in the country. They each had a good out-of-conference victory. For Penn State, it was against Auburn. For Iowa, it was Iowa State. Let's call those comparable. They both won those games, had a good win. Now, let's talk about how the rest of the season goes. For Iowa, who plays only the West Division teams except for their couple crossover games, the one of them being Penn State. So make that game a wash, obviously, playing each other. After that, Iowa does not have a game against a ranked opponent. Not one that's left. Meanwhile, Penn State, along with Iowa, still has to play Michigan, Ohio State, and Michigan State. And as you pointed out, Maryland, with a nice win over West Virginia, they're right on the door to being ranked also that Penn State plays. So let me ask you this, because when they judge a playoff team, if you have two losses, you're eliminated. If you have one loss, you're capable of going to the playoffs. With those two schedules, if Penn State goes 10-2 and Iowa goes 11-1, who really had the more impressive season?
That's a very good point. An excellent point, although we know already how a two-win Penn State team will probably get evaluated, or excuse me, two-loss Penn State team would probably get evaluated by the playoff selection committee. Just to give a little more context, Jim, I am looking at the Big Ten divisional standings as we sit here, nestled comfortably in between week 4 and week 5 recording. Every single team in the Big Ten East, except for Indiana, who's kind of the doormat that we've got coming in this weekend, who was ranked in the preseason and had a very nice season last year, has a winning record. Indiana is 2-2. There are only two teams with a winning record in the Big Ten West, and one of them is Purdue, and they stink. So it's pretty much Iowa and nobody. That division is a total trash heap. It's a dumpster fire. That's largely been the case for quite some time. But this year with Wisconsin in a little bit of limbo after the way the final score sorted out against Notre Dame last week, it's worse than it's ever been, the disparity between the East and the West. Maybe they need to bring back the legends and the leaders. I don't know. We all made fun of it. Maybe that was the better approach.
Perhaps it was. And I think when they set up these divisions, and I know now it's history and it's been talked about for years, they had to keep Ohio State and Michigan in the same division. Why? Because they're Ohio State and they're Michigan. That's why. No other good reason. Even though everyone knows historically over decades, if you had to name the three best football programs in the conference, they're Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State. And you decided to put the three best, historically speaking, teams in the same division. So you were asking for this problem. But and my final conclusion about all this, and I'll circle back to where I actually started with this this investigation, Chris, wasn't to look and see the disparity in the Big Ten. It was just to look at nationally this And we're talking about teams within the same conference having this disparity. Imagine it throughout the country. And to me, it's just one more argument for putting 12 teams in the playoff versus four. Because with four teams, another example is Clemson. Now, Clemson kind of blew my theory when they lost last week. But they could have been a team that lost to Georgia, went undefeated the rest of the season, not playing one team that was ranked. And, again, I'll use that same thing that I said, Penn State-Iowa. Clemson could have gone through their schedule with one loss and not have beaten one good team. And they would have probably made that four-team playoff. What the 12-team does, it gives a little margin for error for teams. So that a team like Penn State or Ohio State or Michigan could go through a season, get that second loss, and still have the ability to make the playoffs based on not the losses, but the quality wins that they actually have.
Yeah, compelling argument. I'm buying it. Look, when you have a chance to go back to the drawing board, just scrap the divisions, play off the two highest ranked teams in your conference championship game, protect some crossover rivalries year to year, and for God's sakes, give us Penn State, Wisconsin every year. I'm just going to keep banging that drum over and over. But, Jim, you mentioned the Clemson result. I talked about what happened to Wisconsin in the fourth quarter against the Fighting Irish. If I learned anything last weekend, it's that every team in college football, except for definitely Alabama and probably Georgia, is bad. And amongst the bad teams are every single team that Penn State has defeated so far. They have risen all the way up to number four in the country based on a resume that now, looking backwards with hindsight and seeing Wisconsin struggling, their quarterback stinks, Ball State has totally imploded. They lost to Toledo this weekend, and Auburn needed all kinds of late fourth quarter heroics to not be upset by Georgia State. Are you at all concerned that, no pun intended with Auburn's that mascot, but that Penn State's resume has been somewhat buttressed by beating up on some paper Tigers?
Not really. Not nearly as much as most folks are. And I'll tell you why. Wisconsin, if you just look at that Notre Dame-Wisconsin score, it, you know, was a butt-whipping. Notre Dame crushed them if you look at the scoreboard. But if you watch right. the game through three-plus quarters, the score was 13-10 Wisconsin. It was exactly the game we thought it would be. Low scoring, physical defensive game. And Wisconsin was coming out ahead in that. And then they gave up a kickoff return and then a couple pick sixes. It just fell apart on them at the end. I don't think Wisconsin is as bad as they looked in that one quarter of football against Notre Dame. And as far as Auburn goes, this might be a little bit me being a Penn State apologist, but I truly believe there is such a thing as a whiteout hangover. I think it's affected Penn State in the past. I think it's affected Ohio State in the past, where you look out for that week following the game, and it's about not just spending yourself physically, but also emotionally. There's so much adrenaline, so much goes into that atmosphere. That Auburn coming out flat the following week, it didn't surprise me at all, except that it was Georgia State, a team that should have been a walkover for them.
Aye, aye, aye.
But I'm not quite as concerned as I think some other people are. How about you?
You know, look, it's something to pay attention to, and I think it's definitely worth remarking upon, but I talked to Noble about this earlier in the week. And he said, listen, you play the team that shows up on Saturday, and any season can break one way or another during any week for every college football team in America because, as has been said so many times, you're dealing with the volatility of 18 to 22-year-olds playing this game and not professionally with everything going on in their social and their academic lives. We have certainly seen Penn State teams like the 1981 team that – all of a sudden the light came on for them after a few weeks in the season and you saw the makings of a future national champion. We have also seen teams lose early and totally fall apart. Going back to a suspect resume builder for Penn State. I think about the 2002 Nebraska team, which was one of the last good, reliable eras of Nebraska football, kind of coming to a close. They rolled into Happy Valley, ranked very highly. Penn State spanked them, and their whole season went south. And who's to say whether or not the emotional hangover of just getting absolutely butt-whipped the way they did in Beaver Stadium didn't have some kind of landslide effect that trashed the whole season. So when you talk to people who have actually played the game, like Brandon has, and I've talked to a couple other folks here who are former Nittany Lions, and they're all laughing it off. They're just saying, look, you saw what you saw. Trust your eyes. Wisconsin, Auburn, those are good football teams. Penn State beat up on Ball State the way they were supposed to. And if there is, in fact, a whiteout hangover, both Auburn and Penn State suffered from it this week. And the only difference is the Nittany Lions result was never in doubt. So I'm not too worried about it, but I do think it bears some attention, and I wanted to get your take on it.
And again, I understand why people bring it up, but this team is 4-0. They have enough in front of them. They will have a good resume. Obviously, if they're 12-0, but also 11-1, 10-2 against this schedule, I will still say that's quite a season for this team.
Yeah, I picked them 10-2 before the year. I still like them to finish 10-2. I would love to see that be better and myself be wrong, but I'm sticking with my prediction until proven otherwise. And yeah, that would be a fantastic bounce back year regardless. So anyway, my final thought for all y'all is don't get too wrapped up imagining what could be. Enjoy what's right in front of you, because the great thing about special college football seasons, as I say this a lot on the show, it's a story that unfolds with each week being its own self-contained chapter. Don't miss a chance to look around and smell the roses and appreciate each chapter as it goes by. We got a chance to see the Nittany Lions under the lights again tonight. They only come up so often, and after last season, to get two of them in the first five games is pretty special. So what will come will come. Penn State's going to get plenty of chances to prove it deserves its ranking or to show that it doesn't. Those are down the line. For now, just enjoy what you got right in front of you, because it's pretty great. It's good to be a Nittany Lion.
Well said, Chris. Well said. Let's enjoy the ride.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Jim. We're going to get out of here. Thanks for joining us again on this edition of the obligatory Keystone Crossover. Find all our content at obligatorypsu.com and keystonesportsnetwork.com. Download the app. Listen to the shows. Enjoy the week. Enjoy the season. Take care of yourselves and each other. We are.
Keystone Sports Network.